did I ever? And he reminded me of the season that I was vaguely familiar with in his own life, or in fact, I was actually quite familiar with it in his life. He said, John, back in about 2008, 2009, 2010, my wife was she had been diagnosed with cancer, but around that season, it really, really got bad. He said, in fact, my wife was dying. He said, at the church where I was attending, I was the head of the pastor search committee, because at that time we didn't have a pastor, we were looking for a pastor. He said, I was the head of the finance committee, and he said, I was the head of the long-range planning committee. And he said, one day my wife and I had been to Austin to see her doctor, and we were driving back to the little community where we lived, and the stress of her cancer and the stress of all the responsibilities that I was going through at church, and he was pretty well retired at this time in his life, except he was writing books and doing well from that. He said, one night I was at church leading one of those committee meetings, and he said, I just broke. I said, what do you mean you broke? He said, I mean I broke down. I lost control of my emotions. I started crying in front of this committee. And I said, well, what did you do after that? He said, when I felt like I had reached a point where I could no longer keep going at the pace I was going, chairing all these committees and trying to help my wife, I think he said he gave up two of the three committees and kept one of them and devoted his attention to that one committee, but primarily to his wife. And he said when he made that lifestyle change, the stress began to gradually go away. So sometimes, I tell that story tonight to say, sometimes in life we're stressed and anxious and overwhelmed, and the solution is not primarily spiritual. The solution is just practical. Make a change. Do something less. Give something up. You're trying to do more than God intends for you to do. So don't ever get so spiritually minded, quote, that you forget it may be a very practical thing you need to do to relieve yourself of some stress. But having said that, if you feel like that you have done everything you know to do to make your life more calm and less stressful, you've improved your schedule, you've stopped accepting everything you're asked to do, you're sharing responsibility at work, you're getting others to help you with things, and you say, there's not anything else that I can eliminate from my life, and I'm still stressed out, okay? If you're at that point, you need to come to Philippians chapter 4, and you're going to notice, first of all, in verse 7, it says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And so when we're stressed out, that's what we're in search of, peace. The peace of God that surpasses all understanding. So the question is, how do I get this peace? You see, peace is the polar opposite of anxiety. When someone is stressed out, anxious, and overwhelmed, they're not peaceful. And so the idea of peace, serenity, calmness, relaxation, that is very appealing. And so the question is, well, how can I get to that? Well, look back again in verse 6. There are two steps. And I had always only focused on one of those steps. The one I had focused on was prayer. Because in verse 6, Paul says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God. And so obviously, if we're stressed out, we have to pray about that and pour our heart out to God. Say, God, here's what I'm going through. Here's where I am in life. God, I feel like I can't go another day. I feel like I can't take anything else. And God, if I get any more bad news, I just feel like I'm going to crumble. I feel like I'm going to be like John's friend. I feel like I'm going to break. I can't go on emotionally. So we do pray about that. We pour our heart to God. But somehow I had always missed this little prepositional phrase, with thanksgiving. That is telling us how to pray. And so when we put this in God's hands, we don't just say, God, here's my situation, and I give it to you. Because if you do that, more than likely, when you say amen to that prayer, you're still going to be stressed out. Because that prayer is incomplete. If you just give it to God and say amen and go on, you haven't done what that verse tells you to do. It says you give it to God with thanksgiving. Now, what is the importance about, what's the big deal about thanksgiving? When you put something in God's hands and you begin to thank Him for taking care of it, what are you doing? You are trusting God. And so the whole idea of thanksgiving is just another way of saying pray with faith. It is the faith in God. Let's say like tonight during the end of the at the end of the sermon, after I ramble on for a little bit longer, and we give the invitation, and two people come down to the front, and we both say, my dad and I are talking to them, and we say to them, what is your decision tonight? And the first man says, I have come tonight to be saved, and as soon as I got down to the front of this church, I got down on my knees, and I asked Jesus to save me. And so we say to that man, well, good. Do you believe that he saved you? Do you trust him to save you? Do you believe that you're saved? If that, what about if that man says, well, I don't know whether I am or not. Well, if somebody prays to be saved, and when the prayer's over, says, I don't know whether I'm saved or not, I think it's a fair question to ask this. Did that prayer have any faith in it? Man number two comes down, gets down on his knees, and he prays. He gets up, and we say, what were you praying about down there tonight? He said, I was praying to ask Jesus Christ to forgive me of my sins, to come into my heart, and to save me. And so we say to him, well, do you believe he did? And he said, absolutely, I know he did. He said he would. I asked him to. I trust him to. I know I'm saved. Well, friend, I can tell you this. I don't have any doubt that that man's saved. Now, this fellow over here, I'm not quite as sure about his salvation. Now, it may be that he had that mustard seed faith, and we get to heaven and we find out he's there. But I wouldn't want to go to heaven, and I wouldn't want to step out into eternity with that man's faith, having prayed to be saved and not knowing whether or not he was. See, I think the key to the whole Christian life is not just praying, it is trusting Jesus. And when that was revealed to me by God in 2005 and 2006, it's one thing to pray about something, but it's another thing to trust God to answer your prayer. It's like from that moment on, the Bible opened up for me in a fresh and new way, and verses I had known for 30 years had a new meaning for me. For example, the most familiar verse in all Scripture, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever, what's the next word? Believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Salvation is a result of believing in Jesus, trusting in Jesus. To believe in Jesus is to trust in Jesus. Romans 5:1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God. Not just having been justified by praying a prayer. Yes, we should pray a prayer, but it is the prayer of faith that God is looking for. Having been justified by faith, we have peace with God. Ephesians 2:8, for by grace you have been saved through faith, not through prayer. Prayer is involved, but that prayer has got to have faith in it. It's got to have trust in it. And so you can't be saved without trusting Jesus. Now, I think we would all agree with that. You have to trust Jesus to be saved. Well, what's true at the beginning of the Christian life is true throughout the Christian life. We have to trust God for whatever it is we need. What does it say in Colossians 2:6? As you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. You started out trusting Jesus to save you. Good. Now trust Jesus for everything you need. And so in Philippians 4:6, when Paul says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So the thanksgiving is the faith. When you thank God, like when a person prays to be saved, normally at the end of my sermons, when I lead that prayer, and I say, if you want to be saved, pray this prayer. Well, I have kind of thought through how I do that prayer, because I'm trying to lead you, not just to pray a prayer, I'm trying to lead you to trust Christ so that you can truly be saved. And so at the end of that prayer, I'll lead them to say, and I'll do it tonight, I'll lead people to say something like this, Lord, I have asked you to save me. I trust you to do it. Or maybe say something like this, God, thank you that I am saved. Because see, when you say thank you, that's faith and you've received it. So with anxiety, stress, being overwhelmed, burdened down, problems in life, problems at home, problems in relationship, problems at work, problems financially, problems everywhere, stressing you out, man, what do? Well, you give it to God and then you say, God, I thank you for taking care of that. God, I thank you for lifting that off of me. God, I thank you that I don't have to carry that burden with me another day. I thank you, God, it's done. See, that is the point of transaction where you put that in God's hand. If you don't do that, you just keep praying about the same thing over and over and nothing changes because it'd be like writing a very nice letter and sealing it up and addressing it and putting it in the mailbox, but you didn't put a stamp on it. Well, that letter's not going anywhere. The letter's got to have a stamp to get to where it's going. Well, for the Christian, our stamp is faith. We pray the prayer, but we put the stamp of faith on it, and with that, it's gone to heaven, and with that, it's in God's hands, and with that, we can trust Him. So this whole idea of thanksgiving, this really, talking about reclaiming lost ground and living the victorious, abundant life, you could almost say it this simply. The key to being, I hate to say stress-free because there's always going to be stress. The key to being more relaxed, more peaceful, more calm, more happy, more relaxed in life, the key to that is to begin to be thankful to God for taking that burden from you and to be thankful to God for, to be thankful to God for the promises in the Bible where He promises to lift our burdens and He promises to take our yoke. Let me show you one other passage. Go back to Matthew chapter 11. I'll just show you how this worked in my life yesterday. And I may come back some week soon and do a whole sermon on this, but I read a passage yesterday morning that I think ties in to what I'm saying. We have to thank God for, if we give God our burden, we have to thank God for taking it. Or if we don't thank God for taking it, we still carry it. And I think this is where we're losing the battle so many times. We're not thanking Him or trusting Him to do anything about it. Matthew 11:28. I read this home yesterday morning. Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Now, Jesus is using an illustration here that we're not really familiar with because we don't live in the world of agriculture and like they did back in that day. This whole idea of a yoke, you would have two animals, maybe two oxen, and they were going to plow a field. And so that they would plow a straight line and one wouldn't go that way and the other one would go that way, they would put an iron yoke around the neck of each of these oxen. And then there would be a wooden piece connecting it. Maybe it was a wooden yoke, whatever. And so the oxen, when they would walk along, they would always be together. And so they would plow, as it were, a straight row, because the plow would be behind the oxen. So Jesus is using an illustration that everybody in His day was familiar with and that most of us are not familiar with, because how many of you have oxen in your backyard today? Not, we don't. But I think we still get the point. Jesus is saying, as you go through life, here's what you need to do. You need to yoke up with me. And you need to learn that if you will yoke up with me, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So I read that yesterday morning and I started thinking about that. And I prayed a prayer yesterday morning. I never had prayed. I said, "God, now it's the beginning of a Tuesday. And here's what I'm doing today." And I said, "God, at the beginning of this day, I want to partner with you. I want to yoke up with you so that I'm hooked up with you for this day. So I'm partnering with you at the beginning." And I said, "Lord, as we go through this day, I want to walk with you. Since we're yoked up like that, I want to walk in harmony and step with you." And not only that, I said to Him yesterday, I said, "Lord, I want to learn from you today because you're not stressed out. You're not overwhelmed. You're not upset. You're not frustrated. You're cool as a cucumber. Your burden is easy and your yoke is light. So if I'm yoked up with you, that means I'm going to have more of those qualities in my life." And I said, "Lord, as I go through this day, I want to learn from you how to handle stress, responsibilities, criticism, a problem, whatever happens today." I'm telling you, this is almost too recent even to pull into a sermon tonight. But as I went, I had a great day yesterday, but it was a much better day because I had that image in my mind. I said, "Now, Lord, I want to learn from you because I'm yoked up with you. How would you handle this because you would handle it in a very calm and relaxing way. And so I think somehow that ties in to what Paul was saying in Philippians chapter 4. We give our cares to God, and we trust Him with it, and we thank Him with it for it, for taking care of us and for leading us on. You still listen? Say amen. One last point, then I'm going to stop. One other thing that gratitude does, and this is very important. Gratitude makes God happy because everybody appreciates being thanked. Everybody appreciates being appreciated. So those first three points talk about what it does for us. Gratitude does this, this, and this. But I don't want us to forget the fact that God is part of the equation here, and it's kind of important what it does for Him. One other verse. Go to Psalm 107. Psalm 107 and find verse number 22. Psalm 107, 22. When you give thanks to God, not only for your blessings, but for His promises. You know, you have to, and I've probably not done a good job tonight developing those promises, but when you begin to claim the promises of God for your situation, you will restore the years the locusts have eaten. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. You will perfect that which concerns me. All things work together for good. The end will be better than the beginning. I mean, when you begin to take those fundamental promises, no good thing will you withhold from those who walk uprightly. The Lord will wait that He may be gracious to me. See, you read a promise like that, you say, well, okay, there's what it says. Yeah, but you have to take, you thank God for that. And so when you're going through it out there in life and you say, man, look, circumstances, people, everything has turned against me. You have to remember, for example, Genesis 50:20. What did Joseph say after he had been through a hard time to those who had caused him to go through the hard time? He said, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. So for that verse to do you any good, you have to say, God, I'm thanking you that even though what I'm going through right now is not good, it is painful, it is hard, it is difficult, I thank you that you intend it for good, that you will bring good out of it. And God, and there's so many verses in the Bible you read. Job said, when he was going through all his mess, Job said, God, you know the way that I take, and when you have tested me, I will come forth as gold. You have to say that. Claim that verse. Thank God for that verse over your situation. Say, God, I'm going through a dark season right now, but I thank you I'm going through it, and I thank you I'm coming out of it, and I thank you when I come out of it, I'm going to be better than I was before I went into it, because during this time, you are refining me. So I should have done a better job earlier saying those, you have to take scripture verses, claim them, thank God for them. It's not just the blessings of God. It's the promises of God. That is the way to spiritual growth, and that is the way to peace. Now, Psalm 107:22, as how it relates to God when we're thankful. Here it is. The Bible says, let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare His works with rejoicing. And so the Bible compares our gratitude, our thanksgiving to God, as an offering. Just like in Bible times when the priest would offer up these animals and the sacrifice would be offered up to God, or the incense in prayer would be offered up to God, and it was a sweet-smelling aroma to God because these are the prayers of the people. These are the sacrifices of sins. It's like when Jesus died on that cross, that death was a sacrifice to God, and God was pleased with the death of Jesus. Even though it broke God's heart, the fact that the sins of the people had been paid for was a sweet-smelling aroma to God. So isn't it interesting that God said, here's a sacrifice that you don't even think of as a sacrifice. Here is something that is sweet smelling to me. Here's something that is pleasant to me. It is the thanksgiving of my people. So know this. When you practice gratitude. Now look at our list again before we stop tonight. Look what it's going to do. It's going to make you humble instead of arrogant, which is going to put you in a position for a lot of good things to happen in your life. It's going to make you positive instead of negative, which is definitely going to be an improvement for all of us. It's going to make you confident instead of anxious because you know that God's causing all things to work together for good. And if that's not enough, God's going to look at your gratitude. God's going to be listening to your praise and words of thanks. And it's going to be a sweet-smelling aroma to God. What I'm saying to you tonight is you can't go wrong thanking God for the blessings He's given you. Amen? I'll say this and then I'll pray. Most mornings when I wake up, before I get out of bed, I spend just a minute thanking God for a few things. And I used to have a longer list, and I've kind of refined my list. But you might want to think about this, and you can make your own list. When I, like, for example, I think I did this morning. When I wake up most mornings, I say, God, good morning, first thing I say to God. And then I say, God, I thank you, number one, that I'm saved and I know that I'm saved. Now, if you can say that before you get out of bed, whatever else happens the rest of that day, you still got a lot to be thankful for. I say, God, I thank you that I'm healed and that I'm healthy in my body. I thank God for that every day. And I say, God, I thank you that you've called me into the ministry. You've kept me in the ministry. I thank you for First Baptist Pasadena. And God, I thank you today. I'm going to get to serve you in some way. So that's basically three things. I'm saved, I'm healed and healthy, and I get to serve God. Now, if you're saved, we're together on number one. Whether you've ever been sick or not, if you're healthy, you ought to join me on number two. And on number three, you may not be working at a church. Let me tell you something about that. I've just preached a whole sermon on this at Tuesday Bible lunch a few weeks ago. As long as you're doing what God wants you to do, you're just as much of a minister as Billy Graham was. You don't have to be a preacher to serve the Lord. In fact, if God's called you to be a painter or a plumber, you'd have to get out of God's will to be a preacher. Find out what God's called you to do and do it. Whatever your job is, teacher, nurse, doctor, chiropractor, housewife, whatever it might be, say, God, today, as I do my job, it's not at a church and it's not before people, but it's before you, which is the main thing anyway. But God, today, help me not just to go through the motions, but help me today to do my job as unto the Lord. And so you're just as much of a servant of God as I am, and you may be more of a servant of God than I am. So tomorrow morning you wake up, God, thank you that I'm saved, and I know that I'm saved. Thank you that I'm healthy in my body. And God, I thank you that I have an opportunity today to serve you, to encourage others, and hopefully out there to be a blessing. And if you'll do that, your attitude will change, and God will be pleased. Amen. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Would you ask God tonight to help you to be a more grateful person? To focus on what's right. To focus on what you have. To focus on who you have in your life. To focus on your blessings. And to focus on those promises of God that were written and put in the Bible for you. Now tonight across this chapel, I believe there are probably some who need to be saved. And I'm going to lead you in that prayer tonight, not just to repeat words or to say a prayer, but to trust Jesus to save you. And so with your head bowed and your eyes closed, with your heart open to God, just pray this prayer. It's not the words. There are no magic words. It is trusting Jesus, and I want to help you do that. Say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive my sins and make me a Christian. I ask you to save me and I trust you to do it. Tell him that. I trust you, Jesus, to save me. I thank you, Lord, that I'm now saved. There's no doubt about it. I thank you, God. You wouldn't lie to me. You promised if I would trust you, you would save me. And I trust you right now. Welcome to my heart. Begin now to make me the person you want me to be. And Lord, during this next song, give me the courage to come forward to share this decision with one of the ministers at the front so that even tonight I could confess you openly, publicly, and unashamedly before others. In your name I pray. And all the people said, amen and amen.